Can I say just thank you to everyone who's here this morning. Thank you for coming. You're very welcome here, and hopefully you'll enjoy your time with us. If this is your first time here, a very special welcome. And we'll enjoy the baptisms, the witness of our three friends as they are baptized, and also some refreshments afterwards. God is good to us, and we want to recognize that goodness today. So thank you very much for coming. I don't know if you realize, but in that last hymn, we were praying. Those words are a prayer. And I want, just before we come to God's word, just to use those words, the first three lines of the hymn, as we come to God again in prayer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I've given Adam a thankless task because I've got my sheets of paper. I think he's got 50 there, and that's not going to be enough. So if you only are sharing, please don't worry about it. And if you don't get one, don't worry about that either. We'll make sure, if you want, that you can get one when you're going. It's just to help you not only hear as we speak from God's word, but for you to be able to look at these verses in God's word yourself at home and allow God to speak to you through that. So. Sorry about that, Adam and Chris. Don't worry if you haven't managed to get a sheet. We can do without as well. A baptism. And we're going to witness some baptisms here this morning. What is baptism, and how does it happen? And everyone has different ideas about it. Is this a GCA way of doing things? Is this the Catholic Church way of doing things? Is this the Protestant Church way of doing things? What is this baptism? Well, I'm going to put all that to the side this morning. I want us only to look in God's word to find out about baptism, God's way. Okay, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. God's way. Not my way or anyone else's way, but God's way. And as I was looking through the scriptures, I noticed when it talked about baptism, there seemed to be always two things that had to happen before a person was baptized. There were two things that must happen before baptism. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 3, and you can listen to them, because this, as far as I can see, and someone can correct me if I've missed something, but this is the first record we have in Scripture of baptism. And it's about a man called John, and sometimes he's known as John the Baptist. That's just because he baptized. It's not because he belonged to a denomination or anything like that. It was just He baptized, and he's the first one that we read about that baptized. And we read in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And on down in verse 5, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Verse 11, John's words, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance." And that's the first thing that I noticed that must happen before baptism. John was making very clear of that. His message was, repent because the kingdom of God is coming. It's close. Repent and be baptized. And often this is called the baptism of repentance. And many people came out to John. They listened to his message. They repented before God. And they were baptized. And many of the religious leaders we read there came out as well to find out, what is this? I don't understand this. What is this that John's doing? They didn't like it, I don't think. It's interesting because maybe nearly 4 years later, after Jesus had died and risen from the dead, and after he had gone back to heaven on the day of Pentecost, the disciple Peter stood up in the middle of Jerusalem this time, not out in the wilderness, in the middle of Jerusalem. He stood up in front of thousands of pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims, religious people. There would have been the religious leaders there, but more than that, the people who had come from all sorts of countries coming to worship in Jerusalem, at the temple in Jerusalem. Good religious people. And Peter stood up and he talked to them about Jesus. And his words that he said to them, he said, this Jesus, the one you crucified. He was bold, wasn't he, in front of all these Jews. The one you crucified, this Jesus is the one that God has made Lord and Christ, or Lord and Messiah. And as he spoke, God's Spirit touched hearts. And their hearts were touched. They were cut to the heart. Many began to realize what we did with Jesus. He was innocent. And they said to Peter, what must we do? We need to do so. What do we do? And Peter's response again was, repent. And be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, about 3,000 religious Jews, so-called good religious people that day, believed in Jesus and repented of their sins and were baptized there in Jerusalem. I wonder if some of those were some of the ones who had gone out to John the Baptist over 3 years earlier and maybe found it. They didn't want to do it then. But now, as God's Spirit touched their hearts, they repented and were baptized. One of the things that God makes very clear in his word that is very important that must happen before baptism, repentance. But not just that. At the bottom of your sheet of paper, if you manage to get one, I quoted some verses from Mark chapter 16. This is Jesus just before he went back to heaven. And these are his words. He's told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. Notice the word believe there. It was so important in the message that Jesus was telling his disciples to share. There's good news here, he says. Whoever believes this good news and is baptized. And again we see the import, something that had to happen before baptism. They had to believe the good news. Later on in the Acts we read of the evangelist Philip going to an area in Samaria. And what was he doing there? He was doing exactly what Jesus had told him to do here. He was preaching the good news about Jesus and the kingdom. And it tells us there, people believed in Samaria. They believed and were baptized. So again, what we see, and it's right there through Scripture, when baptism is mentioned, these two things need to happen first before baptism. Repentance and believing the good news. That's easy to say, isn't it? Repentance. Believe the good news. But what actually does that mean? What does it mean that I have to do? What does it mean to repent? And I want to just go through a few things that I noticed as I was studying through this word repenting. If I have to repent before I'm baptized, what does that mean to repent? Somehow I think, and I think we all realize, it's something more than just saying sorry and just going on with things. But what does it actually mean? Well, I put down a few things here. Let me go through a few things that I think will help us to understand what it means to repent. The first thing is to accept my sinfulness before God. Accept I am a sinner. God tells us in his word, all have sinned. And not only all have sinned, but all have come short of the glory of God. All have failed God's standard. I think we can understand that and we accept that. Or do we? We failed God's standard. We failed. Well, we don't like that. Accepting that I'm a sinner. I think possibly for some of us, the first thing comes to our mind is, yes, I know I'm not perfect, but... And that word but comes in. And I start to say, but I haven't done anyone any harm. I'm a good person. I'm religious. I think God will accept me okay. And we forget those words that God has made very clear. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not so easy to say to God, I am a sinner. Jesus told a story once about two men that went up to the temple to pray. One man, a very religious Pharisee, stood up there and told God how good he was. We're good at that too, aren't we? We can tell God how good we are and how we should get into heaven, how we should be all right because look what I've done. And he told God all the things to tell God how good he was. There was another man in that temple praying in Jesus' story. And it says he couldn't even lift his head before God. And listen to the words that he said. God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. No excuses. No buts. No justifications. I'm a sinner. And I need your mercy. I think in that story, Jesus was trying to show us that he realized that in his sin, he had fallen short of God's glory. And he asked for mercy. And Jesus' words when he told that story were so powerful to the people who were listening. Jesus' words about that man were, this is the man who is made clean in front of God. Not the religious one who was trying to tell God how good he was, but this man who was able to say, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. Can I accept that I'm a sinner in front of God with no excuses, no buts? Because the next thing that I noticed when I was looking at repentance is God calls us to repent. It's a command from God. Jesus himself said, I came not to call righteous people, those who think they're good enough. I came to call sinners to repentance. And if I'm not willing to accept that I'm a sinner, then Jesus didn't come for me. He died for sinners. I was reading in Acts, Paul was speaking in Athens, and he said these words, God commands everyone, everywhere, to repent. Who does that leave out? Doesn't leave me out. Doesn't leave you out. God commands everyone everywhere to repent because he has set a day for the judgment and he has set the judge Jesus Christ himself to be the judge. And so he says, now is the time. I command you to repent before that day of judgment. So if I'm going to repent, I need to recognize I am a sinner in front of God. I need to heed God's call, God's command to repent. But I think we realize it's a bit more than just saying sorry to God for my sin. Again, I read verses in 2 Corinthians that talked about a godly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces a repentance that leads to salvation. Godly sorrow. What's godly sorrow? Well, I think we can understand to each other. We can just say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry. And we expect that should sort things out. We know we can't quite do it to God like that. Godly sorrow is a sorrow that God accepts. Godly sorrow is, God, I am a sinner in front of you. And that's bad. And that's going to take me to the judgment. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the life I've led. I'm sorry for trying to do things my way and not your way. You see, a godly sorrow is between me and God. Mm-hmm. It's not me and other people. It's me and God. But that godly sorrow, it brings repentance. And it brings salvation. To be saved from my sin. Repent, therefore. This was a message that Peter and John was giving to people there in Jerusalem. Repent, therefore, and turn to God that your sins might be blotted out. I love that verse. Turn to God that your sins will be blotted out. That's wonderful. I just think it's incredible. All my sin, gone, blotted out. When I turn to God. But notice I turn to God, because that word repentance has in its meaning, in the middle of the meaning of repentance, it's a turning around 180 degrees. I'm living my life this way, as I think best. I'm doing the best I can my way. Someone wrote a song about that, didn't they? I'm going my way. Turning to God means, God, I'm going your way. That's repentance. That's a huge change. That's not just saying, I'm going my way. Sorry, God, that I mess up sometimes. Turning to God. God says, I'll blot out your sin if you turn to me. Repent, therefore. Turn to God that your sins may be blotted out. And it will show. True repentance will show in my life. My life will be different when I turn to God, when I live for him. John the Baptist, going back to when he was baptizing people, that's what he said. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Your life will show that you have repented and turned to God. Paul, one day standing in front of a king, and he talked straight to that king. And he told him that, I have been asked by God to go and tell people that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. So repentance shows. I think we know when I just say I'm sorry, sometimes it doesn't show. Turning to God and recognizing my sinfulness and coming to him to have my sins blotted out, it will show in a changed life. Life that's now lived for God. But I'll tell you just one more thing about repentance. And this really thrilled my heart. Jesus' words again. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. There's joy before the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You know, if there's one in this room this morning And God's Spirit has been speaking to you, and you realize, I have been wrong in front of God, and I need to get this sorted out with God. I need to repent before God. And if you, in your heart, humble yourself before God and repent and turn to Him, there's joy in heaven. There's rejoicing going on there that we have no idea. Just over you, over me, that day when I did it. Joy in heaven, amongst the angels, with God. He rejoices. That's what it's all about. That's what Christ coming to earth has all been about. Before baptism, there needs to be repentance. Paul, again, he was on one of his journeys, he came to Ephesus, a big city. And he met 12 men there, about 12 of them, 12 disciples. This is not the 12 disciples of the Lord, there's a different 12 disciples. And Paul wanted to know what sort of disciples were they. He started asking them some questions. And when he asked them the questions, they replied that they had been baptized. Ah, Paul says, right, you've been baptized. They said they were baptized with John's baptism. And then Paul, the light went for Paul. He said, ah, now I understand. You've had the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. You have repented and been baptized. Well, that was good. But Paul went on to tell them, but John told you that you were, even after you had been repented and been baptized, you were to believe in the one who came after him. Jesus. John told you that. You were to believe in Jesus. And you see, that's the other thing that's necessary before baptism. It's believing the good news about Jesus. That good news that Philip had been preaching. That good news. But what does it mean to believe the good news? What is the good news? Sometimes we hear the word gospel. Gospel means good news. Well, what is the good news? I love it. I love that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those first few verses. Paul is talking to people in Corinth, believers there, those who have received Christ as their Savior. And he's telling them about the gospel, about the good news. And he says, I preached that good news to you. So you heard it. Not only that, you received the good news for yourself. And not only that, but you stand on the good news. That's your basis. That's your foundation. Not only for this life, but for eternity. The judgment and all. I'm standing on the good news. And not only that, he tells them, that good news saved you. It saved you from God's judgment. It saved you from your sins. It saved you. Remember, he says, you heard it, you received it, you stand on it, and it saves you. What is the good news? Well, Paul went on to write in the next verses. The good news, Christ died for our sins. How's that good news? The death of someone? How's that good news? Christ died for our sins. You see, that's how God can blot out our sins. That's how God can forgive us all our sins. That's how God can make us clean in His sight. Because Christ has died for our sins. It's one of the places where I like to change scripture a little bit. I know it could be changed scripture. But I make that more personal for myself. Christ died for my sins. You can say that too. You can even put your name in there. Christ died for Michael's sins. My sins were on him that day, 2,000 years ago. And he took the punishment for my sins. And that's what enables God to be able to say, I can cleanse you from all your sin. Because Christ has already paid the punishment. That's good news. And as Paul reminded them of the gospel, the good news, he says, Christ died for our sins. Never forget that. He took our sins on himself, and he was punished for our sins. The good news. A couple of other verses that I like that explain that good news. Listen to this. This is powerful. This we find in 2 Corinthians. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Remember, we have come short of the glory of God. Christ became sin for us, took our sin and the punishment for our sin, so that God could give us his righteousness and we could be right in his sight. Is that not good news? Mm-hmm. One more verse, and it's Peter that writes this in his letter. He said, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we would die to sins and live for righteousness. The good news is that God can make sinners who have fallen short of his glory, who have failed him, as we come in repentance to him, he can make us right in his sight, clean, and he can give us his righteousness. He can do that. Do you believe it? That's what he asks for. What does God want from me? He says, I just want you to believe the good news. Because if you believe the good news, and come back to that verse in Mark 16, Jesus' words before he left this earth, when he was with his disciples, those who believe the good news and are baptized, they'll be saved. But those who don't believe, I hope you're not one of those. Maybe you have been one of those, and you're skeptical about what Jesus did, and you haven't believed that he has died for your sin. Jesus warns those who do not believe will be condemned. Before baptism, God commands us to repent. Come before him and repent. Before baptism, God says, I want you to believe the good news I have for you. Your sins can be blotted out. You can be made clean. You can have my righteousness and be with me forever in heaven. Those 12 disciples that Paul met in Ephesus, when they heard from Paul that John had said you were to believe in the one that came after him, Jesus. They heard the message from Paul. They believed that message. And they said, we want to be baptized again. We want to be baptized in the name of Jesus now. But you've already been baptized. You've repented and you've been baptized. No. He says, we want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's almost like the three people who will be baptized here this morning. It's almost like waving a flag. I follow Jesus. That's what they're saying. There's many things that are included in being baptized. Many pictures that we can share about what baptism means. But one of those things is, I'm following Jesus. These disciples that Paul had met in Ephesus, if they had been asked before, your disciples, your followers of who? They would probably have said of John. We're disciples of John. But now they said, because we believed in Jesus, we want to be disciples of Jesus and we want to be baptized in his name. And they were that day. And they received the Holy Spirit. How wonderful as these three today, witness, we belong to Jesus. We live for Jesus. We have turned to God. And we believe Jesus has died for our sins. What a witness for us. And I would just leave this with them. Just as those disciples identified themselves with Jesus Christ. Words that Paul gave to his good friend, his young friend Timothy. He said, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and because of his grace." Don't be afraid to testify about our Lord. That's one of the things they'll be doing here this morning, testifying about the Lord. And as they go on living for him, their lives turned from living for self to living for God. If God has spoken to you this morning, maybe God's Spirit has been touching you and saying, "Look, this is my word," God says. "I want you to repent and believe the good news." Will you do it? You can do it just where you are. It's between you and God. No one can do it for you. It's between you and God. Don't just let Satan take away the word of God, the seed of God, conviction of the Holy Spirit. If anyone can help you, they'd be glad to. You will know people who have already received Jesus as their own personal Savior and Lord. Speak to them. Ask for their help. But in the end, this is between you and God. God calls us to repent and believe the good news that Christ died for our sin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. In a world where there seems to be so much mixed up truth, I thank you for your truth. Your truth is forever. Your truth will never fail. And I pray, Father, that even now, as your Spirit will speak to hearts, that there will be those who will be willing to say, "Yes, I want to repent, and I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior and Lord of my life." Continue to speak, we pray. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.